Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network on this Friday, June 6, 2025. It is 1 p.m. Central Time in Texas. What's our major story? There are a lot of truly horrible things that we could cover today, and your roadmap will do a good job, I think, this weekend of bringing you up to speed on all of them. But our major story here shortly is going to be this. What are Peter Thiel and Alex Karp up to at Palantir Technologies? Beyond hijacking the Zionist-occupied government of the United States, might there be a plan to use the Musk allegations of Trump's withholding of the Epstein files in order to protect himself? To replace Trump with Thiel protege J.D. Vance in the Oval Office? We'll also take a look briefly at Larry Johnson's prophecy of a bombshell that'll finish Lindsey Graham in a few months, hopefully, involving Lindsey's bank account and things related to the Russian-Ukrainian war. We're going to say some things here on the air about the latest Russian airstrikes in retaliation for Zelensky's attacks of terror on civilian trains in Kursk and Bryansk. We're going to cover just for a second the American veto of the UN Security Council resolution on Gaza and the potential blowback from American, read Israeli, diktats to Iran on uranium enrichment. These are, I think, most of the other major stories with other things continuing to develop. Now, in this particular situation, let's start not with the Peter Thiel, Alex Karp story, which is perhaps the most significant, but to take a look at some of the other things that are of equal import as we go past all of the incredible lengthy stories that I've put up for you in regard to Peter Thiel of Palantir Technologies and Alex Karp and what these guys are really up to. And what it means to you and to me in terms of having a centralized database, keeping absolute federal surveillance on all American citizens, courtesy of a couple of guys that are quite chummy with Israeli intelligence and with the sleaziest elements in the Trump administration. This is where we are in this, folks, and I will come back here just briefly, going past all of these things I put for you on the roadmap as it pertains to Palantir and Peter Thiel and Karp. Let's go directly to Russia and Ukraine. Russia retaliates, striking Ukraine's major strategic targets overnight. This comes to us from Geopolitica. The massive Russian strike followed a series of terrorist acts by the Ukrainian regime against Russia's residential areas, bridges, and airfields. What has been struck? Number one, Kiev. A massive fire broke out following the strike, likely hitting a thermal power plant. Over 2,000 apartments on Kiev's left and eastern bank remain without power, according to Geopolitics. This is also according to the Kiev City State Administration, and presumably they would know. Number two, Chernobyl. A towering column of smoke was seen rising over the city. The specific site of the blaze was not disclosed. The attack damaged industrial and infrastructure facilities. The city is experiencing disruptions in water and electricity supply, the city mayor claims. Quote, unquote, keep your windows tightly shut. Yeah, parts of Chernobyl are without power. Water pressure across the city has dropped due to the outages, and upper floors may experience little to no water. Restoration work is underway, stated Mayor Sergei Nadal. Then there's Lutsk, number three. A video footage surfaced appearing to show four missiles hitting enemy targets in rapid succession. One of the presumed targets was a warehouse where a large fire broke out. Another likely target was the motor local repair plant. Number four, Lvov, an industrial facility in the Drogobych district sustained damage. And number five, Poltava, in the Kremenchuk district of the Poltava region, warehouses belonging to local enterprises were hit. New rules continues with some of this airstrike coverage. The title of theirs, of course, is Russia launches massive strikes across Ukraine. Black Sea blockade coming, they ask. Last night, the Russian armed forces unleashed large-scale strikes on Ukraine's energy, industrial, and military infrastructure, the first since winter. New rules reports that explosions rocked Kiev, Lviv, Zhytomyr, Cherkasy, Chernobyl, Rivne, and Khmelnytsky regions. Key hits. Patriot air defense system in Kiev annihilated by Iskander missile. Tech 4 and Tech 5 power plants destroyed. Strikes expected to escalate. A second wave is imminent. The Sumy offensive is advancing, says new rules. Russian forces push south, liberating Yublanovka and Malaya. Korchakovka now threatening Yunukovka's rear. FPV drones swarm the region as Ukraine desperately shifts UAVs to Petrovsk and Tetino, where they're getting slaughtered. Those are the words of new rules, not me. Black Sea blockade coming. Political reports that Russia plans to cut off Ukraine from the Black Sea by 2025. That's assuming that Ukraine even exists by the end of this year. Fall 2024, buffer zone complete. LPR, DPR fully liberated. The 2025 goal, in addition to cutting Ukraine off from the Black Sea, is to get the left bank of the Dnieper, Odessa, and Nikolaev. A total blockade of those areas, which I presume will be a prelude to Russia absolutely swallowing up Ukraine. I am absolutely convinced on the basis of Zelensky's behavior and the fact that numerous sources, we all know this if you're consulting any of the responsible news sources, it is undeniable that the United States intelligence community knew about what Zelensky was planning in these terrorist bombings of the Kursk region, and certainly also the terrorist bombings in Bryansk of these civilian trains, that American intelligence was more than just a little involved in giving the Ukrainians a technical assist in regard to these airstrikes in on Russian airfields that involved the loss of some Russian military aircraft. Now, I can't cover this on the air, folks, but take a look at people like our friends at the Durand and what it is that has been promoted in recent days by Alexander Mercuris, who on this subject is consulting many of the same resources that I'm consulting. Even those that in the West that are sympathetic to the Russians are pretty much reporting the damages from these airstrikes according to what it is that the Ukrainians are telling them. The Russian loss of airplanes is far below the claims of Ukrainian intelligence and Mr. Zelensky. It does not fundamentally impact in any way either the strategic triad of the Russians, nor does it impact what they're going to be doing and continuing to do from the air as a result of what it is that Zelensky and the American deep state and the Brits and the Germans and the French are up to in trying to stir this pot. This whole business of Donald Trump trying to figure out what to do about this Ukrainian situation, once again, it's very, very clear. Pull the plug on Zelensky, Mr. Trump. Pull the plug on the money. Pull the plug on the arms support. And last but not least, pull the plug on any involvement of the United States in providing technical assistance to anything that Ukraine is doing as it relates to airstrikes and terrorist activities. That would be it for Mr. Zelensky in the space of about 5 minutes. So let's stop fooling around, Mr. Anti-War Trump, and get on the ball and pull this plug on this guy and on this ill-advised American involvement once and for all. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. We have to wonder on the basis of some things that continue to transpire as it relates to Mr. Trump and sources yet unknown in regard to what may or may not be in these Epstein files related to Mr. Trump's behavior, related to Mr. Trump's friendship with Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell. Maybe there's a little bit of blackmail going on here, folks. Now, that sounds like something out of a movie. But nonetheless, I would take very seriously the possibility that what we're dealing with here is something that's incredibly serious, especially as it relates to this whole business of Peter Thiel and Alex Karp and Palantir Technologies. By the way, here's an anonymous poll. I participated in the poll, by the way, at Geopolitics Live. They had some old film footage of Donald Trump at one of Epstein's parties and yucking it up with the girls and so forth. These particular films did not show anything pornographic, but nonetheless, it seemed to be kind of a Belshazzar's feast kind of circumstance. If you're not familiar with Belshazzar in the book of Daniel, check out Daniel chapter 5. That would seem to be about the atmosphere that was filmed with Mr. Trump and Mr. Epstein and Ms. Maxwell and all of these people who were there. But here's the poll. Do you think Elon Musk is telling the truth about Trump and the Epstein files? This is an anonymous poll. And here are the results out of 1,081 votes. Now, of course, maybe that's increased since the time I posted this on your roadmap. Who's to say how scientific this poll is? But nonetheless, it is suggestive. 30% say yes, Trump is a pedophile. 5% say no, Elon has totally lost it. 21% say yes, but it's probably not something major. I would suggest being involved with Jeffrey Epstein in any way whatsoever is something major. But nonetheless, that's what 21% of the people who responded to this out of 1,081 votes cast voted for. 18%, this whole feud is a false flag operation. Then 26%, this percentage came in second in the poll. This is the one that I voted for. Whether I'm right or wrong, I said that both Trump and Elon are blackmailed by Mossad. Think through that one. It's certainly a possibility, folks. I say it's more than a possibility, especially when we get to taking a brief look today. It's only a brief look, but you can read all weekend long just on the basis of what I already have on your roadmap in regard to Peter Thiel and Alex Karp and this whole business of Palantir, their involvement with the feds at the highest level of deep state surveillance activities, and the fact that to be involved with Palantir Technologies is, in essence, to be giving the Israeli Mossad a look at the profile of every American in this country. That is my take on this, and of course, we will get back to it. Iran. This is important, folks. In 3 days' time, we are told, according to Middle East Spectator, the International Atomic Energy Agency will meet in Vienna to discuss Iran's compliance with a 2015 JCPOA P5+1 nuclear deal. Middle East Spectator reports that despite the fact that it was America, and Mr. Trump, by the way, that unilaterally withdrew from the nuclear deal in 2018, European countries now say Iran likely isn't in compliance with a JCPOA anymore. Well, who cares, folks? I don't blame them if they're not. If the IAEA finds that Iran is officially no longer in compliance, any of the parties to the JCPOA, specifically the European nations, can initiate the snapback clause. I want to repeat that, the snapback clause, which would reimpose all UN sanctions against Iran, including an arms embargo, a ban on uranium enrichment, a global freeze of Iranian assets, and a ban on ballistic missile activities. While these sanctions won't do much in reality, considering that Iran's missile and nuclear programs are fully self-sufficient, it will deal a blow to Iran's international credibility. As a matter of fact, I think it'll deal a blow to the international credibility of the United States, Israel, and the European Union. But this is, in fact, what is being reported by Middle East Spectator in regard to the European Union's perspective on this. This, folks, if this report is truly indicative of what the EU is thinking, it'll deal a blow to Iran's international credibility and lay the groundwork for accusations of nuclear weapons, which will be the pretext for an Israeli strike. This is why Iran's foreign minister today promised a strong reaction by Iran if Europe triggered the snapback mechanism. Earlier, Foreign Minister Araghchi stated that if the Europeans activate snapback, Iran's attitude toward its nuclear program would, quote-unquote, change completely. Iran could take various measures in response, like mass producing or activating large amounts of advanced IR-9 enrichment centrifuges, quitting the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty or even unveiling an ICBM or conducting a nuclear test. And folks, you want to know what I think about all of this, and I said it in the video that accompanies this roadmap. If I was involved with the Iranian leadership, if I was the president of that country or the supreme leader or the foreign minister or all of them combined, I would at this point be striving to achieve a nuclear weapon. Let's face it, Iran lives in a crappy neighborhood known as the Middle East that is being completely traumatized and terrorized by a criminal by the name of Benjamin Netanyahu and his criminal regime. Do you think if I lived in that neighborhood that I would fail to be armed to the teeth or to be advising people who might be interested in my opinion as to what I would think? Folks, you know what you think. If you live right here in the state of Texas and you live in a somewhat crappy neighborhood and there's been an increase in criminal activity in your neighborhood and especially on the part of people that don't even belong in this country, you're going to arm yourself to the teeth, unless you're crazy, unless you're absolutely nuts. In this particular case, folks, trust me, the Iranians, in my view, have every single right, based upon everything that has gone on for many, many years, to finally throw up their hands and say, we are going nuclear. And I hope that the Russians and the Chinese certainly will back them up politically, if only covertly, in regard to their need for the best weaponry they can get in a very crappy neighborhood, a crappy neighborhood made such by the United States and the Zionist State of Israel and the United Kingdom and the European Union. End of story. Books and documentaries. I had all kinds of things I wanted to list in your roadmap, but because of the fact that your roadmap supervisors, our friends at VKontakte that I have the highest regard for, limit me to 16,000 characters in regard to what I can post for you. And because of the amount of stuff that we have posted for you, or I have posted for you, on Peter Thiel and Alex Karp and Palantir Technologies and the Israeli Mossad and all of the rest of it, We have a number of books that I will post next week, keeping in mind that there is one thing under books and documentaries. Fatemeh Torkashvan for Press Television, books and documentaries that chronicle Imam Khomeini's illustrious life and legacy. Now, whether you like Khomeini or you don't like Khomeini, if you want to be informed about the Iranian Revolution and their perspective on it, the Islamic Revolution in Iran, back in the 1979-80 time frame, you'll want to take a look at those books and documentaries. Eddie Arnold ushers in the first break with July You're a Woman from his album Standing Alone in 1970 for RCA. Stay tuned.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Their faces gone, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to kids that heard what they ain't caught them yet. Cause I got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire, as I ride on hear their cry. Yippee-i-yo, yippee-i-yo, the Ghost Rider's in the sky.
We are back. That was Eddie Arnold from many, many years ago singing Ghost Riders in the Sky. I like his version, of course. It's not the original, but it's part of a series of Western songs that Eddie Arnold did many, many years ago that Bear Family Records over in Germany continues to sell a CD that combines two of Eddie Arnold's more terrific recordings from his time with RCA and when he was doing Western music. One of them is, the Cattle Call album. The other one is something called Thereby Hangs a Tale. And I think it's on the Thereby Hangs a Tale album with RCA that you can get a copy of what it is that you were just listening to, which was his version of Ghost Riders in the Sky. Okay, we are back. Let's zero in here to the extent that we can in the 36 minutes that remain on this show to look at this Peter Thiel Palantir Technologies expose that is coming to us from a variety of different sources. So many sources that you won't be able to get through all of this material this weekend. But if you want to give it a good try, it will inform you. At the same time, it will alarm you. At the same time, it will disgust you. At the same time, it will terrify you in regard to the potential implications of this. So, let's get started. The Rutherford Institute, Trump's Palantir-powered surveillance, is turning America into a digital prison. Lou Rockwell reposted that from the Rutherford Institute. Here's Geopolitics Live. Now, keep an eye on this one. Because of the recent allegations of Elon Musk that Trump did not release the Epstein files because Trump was in them. And in them in a way that would have been extremely unflattering to Mr. Trump had the American people had an opportunity to take a look at this. This is the implication of what Musk is saying. And, of course, I gave you a little insight as to the poll that Geopolitics ran on this whole subject of whether or not Elon Musk is telling the truth or he isn't. We can figure that one out later. But here we are, Geopolitics Live, years after his death. Jeffrey Epstein's investment in Trump technology ally Peter Thiel's venture capital firm is paying off. Geopolitics reports that U.S. media has gotten a hold of a confidential financial analysis revealing that the late convicted pedophile and suspected CIA and Mossad asset, poured $40 million into a pair of funds managed by Thiel's Valar Ventures between 2015 and 2016. Fast forward a decade and 6 years after Epstein's death, and the investment is now worth $170 million, making it the largest piece of his estate, according to the New York Times. The bombshell information is the first time Thiel has been financially linked to Epstein, although the two were previously known to have met in 2014 for lunch and dinner dates and a large get-together at Epstein's New York City townhouse. In January, Thiel wrote an FP op-ed piece entitled A Time for Truth and Reconciliation, in which he argued passionately about how the quote-unquote distributed ideas suppression complex, or DISC, of media, government, universities, and NGOs had been overwhelmed by the Internet when it comes to the Epstein case. Now Thiel's big data software giant Palantir is reportedly in the process of assembling a master database processed by artificial intelligence containing the biometric data, DNA, tax records, medical history, and psychological profiles of every man, woman, and child in the United States. A level of control the distributed idea suppression complex could only dream of. Epstein, incidentally, is known, according to Geopolitics Live, to have dreamed of hoping to, quote-unquote, seed the human race with his DNA as a part of a twisted fascination with transhumanism that Thiel and fellow tech billionaires like Sam Altman and Mark Zuckerberg seem to share. Number of Jews supporting the beast in his appearance? Why not? Here's one from Rebar, folks. Rebar is an amazing, admittedly Russian news source, but they publish a lot of stuff. They're particularly dynamic in regard to reporting on the particulars of this war. At Alexander Mercurius's suggestion, I added Rebar to my news sources several years ago, and it's really incredible to see what they are now putting out in regard to Jeffrey Epstein and our tech billionaire, Mr. Thiel. This one is entitled, Who's Really in Charge? Who actually stands behind the new American administration? Trump's political opponents have struck a new blow. The New York Times published an article revealing connections between the scandalous Jeffrey Epstein and tech billionaire Peter Thiel. Those who commissioned the article knew exactly where to hit. Eddie Arnold singing Make the World Go Away is going to take us away from this ugliness for a couple of minutes, and then we'll get right back to it. You're listening to the Dan Koff Report on RBN Live on this Friday, June 6th, 2025. Stay tuned.
Make the world go away.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendabite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendabite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendabite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to, and make the world go away.
We are back. You're listening to the Dankoff Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which comes to you both from Round Rock, Texas, as well as my studio in San Antonio, Texas. By the way, tonight at 9 p.m., I'm going to be on William Repellum's technician will help me. I think it's Repellum. He's asked me to come on his show tonight on RBN at 9 p.m. Central Time. So I haven't got anything else too compelling today, I hope, other than taking care of the usual crises that I have to take care of in my own family situation. But I'm looking forward to being on that show tonight. And I'll leave it to William to determine what it is that we're going to talk about and in what direction we're going to go. But so you will hear me again on his show on RPM. Now that's thinking of 33 Records, sorry. On RBN at 1, not 1 p.m. Central, which is my show, but William's show at 9 p.m. It'll be 9 p.m. tonight. Let's get back a minute to this Rebar article on who really stands behind the Trump administration. Again, as we've already read, Trump's political opponents have struck a new blow. The New York Times published an article revealing connections between the scandalous Jeffrey Epstein and tech billionaire Peter Thiel. Surprise, surprise. Those who commissioned the article, says Rebar, knew exactly where to hit. They're gradually undermining the MAGA movement, within which growing discontent is rising. Trump supporters are being pushed toward the idea that the president's promises, such as revealing quote-unquote Epstein's client list, aren't being fulfilled, while the real levers of power end up in the hands of technocrats like Peter Thiel. Who is Peter Thiel, and why is he associated with the Trump administration? Well, this is what we are told by Rebar. Peter Thiel, venture investor and co-founder of Palantir, has long established himself not only as a visionary entrepreneur, but also as an architect of new political reality. In recent years, Thiel and his inner circle, alumni of the so-called PayPal Mafia and related venture funds, have occupied strategically important positions in the American power infrastructure. A special place in this network, Rebar reminds us, is occupied by J.D. Vance, the current vice president and former Thiel protege. Vance became a symbol of the so-called new wave of mega elite. His political rise would have been impossible without Thiel's financial and organizational support. But Vance is just one of many, Rebar reminds us. The personnel policy of the 2025 administration increasingly resembles casting among graduates of tech startups and investment funds rather than traditional political institutions. Who else is on Thiel's protege list? Among the most notable, Elon Musk, who needs no introduction. Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, political activist and promoting technocratic and right conservative ideas among youth. Christopher Lattner, technology advisor, previously worked at Apple and Tesla. And Peter Navarro, Trump's economic advisor, supporting a course toward integrating the private sector into government functions. The term fascism might come up among some of us. So what did Thiel get by promoting his people into the administration, asks Rebar. Companies connected to Thiel and his team received billion-dollar government contracts. Palantir, for example, became a key contractor for federal agencies on data processing and analysis, personal information database integration, and national security provision. Such contracts, says Rebar, not only bring billion-dollar profits, but also allow the private sector to control critically important elements of government infrastructure. Essentially, technology companies led by Thiel and his like-minded associates are becoming not just service providers, but full-fledged subjects of power. Surveillance, analytics, and predictive modeling systems developed by Palantir and similar structures are being implemented in law enforcement agencies, intelligence services, and even civilian departments. This allows the private sector to accumulate data arrays previously unavailable to anyone except the state and form new mechanisms of social control. Be interesting to see what Palantir is doing to upgrade the Anti-Defamation League's software. What about Donald Trump, we are asked. Trump, despite all of his charisma and political energy, is increasingly becoming a symbolic figure, a screen behind which power redistribution in favor of technocratic elites is taking place. I'm going to read out just some other sources for you to look at on your own, and then I'll take a caller. Multiple sources, true or false. This was sent to me by a journalistic colleague reminding me that on the 3rd of July, 2024, the Epstein court documents were declassified, naming Donald Trump as a defendant. The following is a selection of the transcript notes edited for brevity. In this particular case, you can read all about one Katie Johnson and her allegations against Trump and Epstein in a case that was subsequently dismissed. The Daily Mail and Chasadovsky's Global Research are just a couple of the sources that I have posted on this. Take a look at that story. Some of the particulars of what she alleged, I decided to edit for purposes of taste. It's pretty grim stuff. If it's false, it's absolutely libelous. If it's not false, if there's something to her story, if there's some stuff that's rummaging around in these Epstein files that would tend to corroborate this, then we can join Alex Karp of Palantir in saying that, quote-unquote, we are so screwed. He tells Pravda that, at the same time that he reminds Pravda that his company's software, listen to this, RBN listeners, his company's software, quote-unquote, single-handedly stopped the far right in Europe, quote-unquote. Now they will be building an AI-powered government mega database of all Americans' personal information. What is the relationship between Peter Thiel and Alex Karp of Palantir Technologies and what has happened to the AFD in Germany? What has happened to Britain First? What has happened to took place in Romania when the clear winner of the Romanian elections was disqualified from the second round of running. I'm referring, of course, to the Calin Gorgescu case. What is the relationship between Palantir and these obvious attempts of the American and European Union deep states to stir up more trouble in Georgia? The list goes on and on and on. I don't know about you, but I think it's about time that we have a congressional investigation of Mr. Thiel and Mr. Alex Karp. And let's put it all out there where it belongs. Let's show the American people and all of the peoples of Europe exactly what these guys have been doing on behalf of the Zionist state of Israel and the deep states of the respective countries in which these folks live. And last but not least, the American right, the true America First right. Let's take a look at what these guys have really been up to with the full connivance and support of one Donald Trump and secondarily, of course, one J.D. Vance. Here's one for you, Ryan Grimm for The Intercept, and he has a grim story from 2 years ago, the death of Peter Thiel's kept romantic partner. His kept gay romantic partner is being investigated as a suicide. And this is a sad case of a fellow named Jeff Thomas. I'll leave you to read Mr. Grimm's story for the Intercept. Keith Preston has one for Attack the System, the strange story of Peter Thiel. Janko Vucic for UNS. This is a critical read. Profiling Palantir. Janko Vucic tells us that the tech firm beloved by the World Economic Forum and founded by Peter Thiel and Zionist zealot Alex Karp is watching every last move you make. Every last move. Zero Hedge reports revelation of Epstein investment tied to Peter Thiel adds to growing concerns about Palantir. Middle East Eye reports to us from a year or two ago that J.D. Vance's mentor co-founded the company that helps Israel generate kill lists of Palestinians in Gaza. Take a look at that story, folks. And what is it exactly that Palantir Technologies might be doing to assist Israeli intelligence in a possible preemptive war against Iran? Well, we'll have to wait and see if there's ever going to be an investigation that will get to the bottom of that. The one thing that we can say, however, is that the result of that is going to be that people like Mr. Thiel and Mr. Karp and people that support what it is that Israel's doing are all going to get their butts kicked. Bloomberg has one out there. Thiel's Palantir, Israel agrees to a strategic partnership with Palantir for battle technology. That one's behind a paywall. You might have to pay for it. I don't recommend paying for it, but I did put it there, and I think you get the gist of what's in there just from the title alone. Here's a great one for you from Alan McLeod for Mint Press News. Peter Thiel, from Gaza AI war criminal to White House puppet master, critically important read. Here's one from Kelly Vallejos of Responsible Statecraft. She also writes, or used to, and I think still does write, for the American Conservative. This one is entitled, Peter Thiel, I Defer to Israel. Ms. Vallejos reports to us that Thiel, in fact, was asked a series of very, very serious questions related to Gaza and other activities that Mr. Thiel's company has undertaken in the dark clandestine world on behalf of the Zionist state. Thiel had trouble answering the questions, says Ms. Vallejos, and his answer finally was, I defer to Israel. Think about that one, folks. I defer to Israel. And undoubtedly to Jeffrey Epstein when he was alive, and Ghislaine Maxwell when she was alive, and all of these other sleazy deep state operatives for the Israeli Mossad and the American intelligence community, 99% of which is tied up with these people, hence their support of all of the crimes that the Israelis commit and will continue to commit in Gaza and in southern Lebanon, if you've been following these latest Israeli airstrikes over Beirut, and not to mention Israeli activities in Syria, where it comes out to highly placed Israeli officials now admit that Benjamin Netanyahu had a very, very less than secret alliance with ISIS and was using them in Syria. To give us a guy who's now the president of Syria, who was an Al-Qaeda operative that the United States at one time had a $10 million bounty on. The alliances keep changing, but the ultimate alliance of all of these American policymakers to Israel doesn't seem to change, and that's going to lead to the destruction of this country. And I say that 2 days before the anniversary of Israel's deliberate attack on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. Philip Giraldi has a new piece, I understand, for the Unst Review that reminds us of that. Sam Biddle for The Intercept, how Peter Thiel's Palantir helped the NSA spy on the whole world. Tyler Durden for Zero Hedge, Palantir's deepening government ties spark fears of centralized surveillance for Israel. Kit Clarenberg, Trump's embrace of dystopian Palantir spying tool sends stock soaring. I don't know if that's true as of the last 24 hours, but it was true. And this basically gives you just the roadmap for the reading that you need to be doing in regard to what I deem to be absolutely the most serious story from today, and that is these revelations about Peter Thiel and his connections to Jeffrey Epstein, and of course what we've already known about both of them and their ties to Israeli intelligence, and the fact that this organization, Palantir Technologies, has gotten a government contract to create a centralized database on every American in this country. Think about it, folks. Is this America first? Or is this the Donald Trump that commissioned the Soleimani assassination? Is this the Donald Trump who, instead of being run by Mike Pompeo and John Bolton, is now being run by people like Lindsey Graham and Marco Rubio? End of story. Well, of course, here we have some phone callers. Let me pull them up. And let's take the first caller. Who have we got on? James of Vancouver?
Yes, good morning, good afternoon. You pronounce Thiel the way my American family would, and the other side of the family, Khazars, would say Thiel. But I'm interested to wonder, you know, from 1965 to 1975, we dropped 9 million tons of ordnance on Vietnam. Would that be comparable to the kind of, would you say that was genocide, and would it be comparable to what's happening in Palestine right now? Back to you.
I would have to affirm that that is, in fact, genocide. Now, we're going back, I was quite young when the Vietnam War was going on. My father was an Air Force officer who was involved in the thing. Exactly. And look at Vietnam very differently now from the way I would have when I was a young kid, say, between the ages of 10 and all the way up till the time that Saigon fell in April of 75 when I was 20 years old and in college. In retrospect, the United States had no business being in South Vietnam. I think there was incredibly unjustified loss of life. I think that would definitely qualify as genocide. And in this particular case, I think that the American empire has learned absolutely nothing with what it is now supporting just in Gaza alone, not to mention what's going on in Lebanon and Syria and what may be about to happen with Iran. Genocide it is.
But it was fulfilling the goals of the military-industrial complex, which, as you pointed out many times, is run by things like the Federal Reserve and banking consortiums all over the world. So I just wanted to get that out there. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good Friday. It's a great day today.
Hey, God bless you, James. Take care. Well, let's see. Who else we got? Andy in Texas. Are you up there, Andy, still?
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Mark. Hey, no, listen. You know, a lot of people are like, you know, with this Peter Thiel and stuff, you got me thinking and whatnot. And, you know, with Palantir and, you know, Alex Karp and whatnot. These guys are big players in the Stargate, this half-a-trillion-dollar gigamortis, if you want to call it. But here's the big thing is that Stargate was already set up. What's really funny is that Donald Trump didn't campaign at all on Stargate. He didn't campaign at all on Greenland or annexing Canada or changing the name. A lot of stuff right off the bat, this all came out. But because Stargate's come out, most people don't realize if you have any kind of facility or any kind of appliance or you have a Ring doorbell or you have those little things you screw in your light bulbs that are lights and they also have cameras in them or whatnot, and it has a Bluetooth hookup. Now, it doesn't matter if you don't hook up with your Bluetooth Palantir and Stargate can hook up to it. So they already have Stargate set up. All they have to do is put all the wires together. This had everything to do with Jade Helm. You remember Jade Helm? They put out a bunch of different military people around the country and stuff, and they were using AI to try to find these people, and they were unsuccessful. I think they found two groups out of five that they actually set out. It was all through Colorado, Texas. It was in North Carolina and whatnot. They couldn't find two different groups or whatnot. And now, that was in 2015, and so now they're doing it again, and they found out, they did another drill, if you will, and found that they could find everybody. And that's because everybody, just like we all voluntarily took a smartphone, cell phone, or whatnot, and not all of us, so I live with a person who does not, or taking that, but whatnot, they have everybody volunteered to take that, and they're also volunteering to get the Bing doorbell. They're putting cameras up. I don't care if you're using ADT or Brinks or whatever. All this stuff is linked to the internet, so they'll be able to see you all the time, anytime. Now, having said that, there's also this Chinese model here, which Klaus Schwab has said is the model for the world. And if you look at this, what has happened in China, all these people have gotten into this social score and whatnot that they're supposed to carry and whatnot as you do well. You don't buy a can of beer, you get more points for not buying a can
of
beer.
Sir, my message is simple.
Beer. And it's weird, kind of everything is a score and stuff. And what we're finding in China right now is several people have fell under this. They no longer get their carbon credits, and they no longer have any access to anything. These people are underground dwellers. They purposely in China made a bunch of homeless people, and apparently in the United States we want to do that. All we have to do is just bring the dollar up and down, and then people fall out into the streets or whatnot. But this is what's happening here, and that's what's being developed here. Is the same thing they have, a social score in China. It's always been the model, and that's what's here. Now, as far as the Epstein list, we have to think about this for 1 second. Why would Elon come out and push Donald Trump off? Well, a lot of people are saying because in the Big Beautiful Bill, he got rid of funding for EVs or whatnot, which just happens to be Elon's profession. And yet we've seen video of Donald Trump buying an EV video or vehicle from him or whatnot. And so this is very suspect in itself, but, you know, maybe he is on the Epstein list. Maybe Elon's on it, too. Who knows? Maybe this is a way for Donald Trump to exit stage left before all the bad stuff happens, so he remains the last president that was for the people, and he goes down in history of that, and then everything goes out in a handbasket. Now, that was a lot. I hope you have some sort of response to that.
Well, I think time tells in terms of what all of this means, Andy. I think in the short term, what we really have to be worried about is that this sits as a deep state in this country, manages to undo anything that Trump may have done of a positive nature in trying to resolve this Ukrainian-Russian war. I know David Stockman has a post out there at Lou Rockwell, which basically takes that position. This is ominous information that, in fact, David Stockman presents, if he's analyzing it correctly, and I certainly wouldn't want to contradict David Stockman on anything. He's that bright a guy. But between that fact and what seems to be a lot of machinations to justify some kind of a preemptive military attack on Iran that absolutely is wrong and would go wrongly for the United States, we're just going to have to wait and see. And, you know, to me, this Syed Mohammad Mirandi, who's a professor, I think, at the University of Tehran, and he, once in a while he's on press television and other outlets I consult, he was reminding us of the billions of dollars that the United States blew in deploying these aircraft carriers into the Red Sea region to combat the Houthis. And, of course, I'm referring to the USS Harry S. Truman and the USS Carl Vinson. And we start looking at loss of aircraft and loss of MQ-9 Reaper drones and all the other things that transpired. It begs the question as to whether or not the United States really thinks, or its Zionist-occupied government really thinks, in the wake of the incredible opposition and courage of these Houthis to what the Zionists and the American government were doing, that we would then move to contemplate a major conflict with Iran, which, unlike the Houthis, the Iranians are a major military power to be reckoned with. So only time tells, but it seems to me that whether you're talking about this whole business of domestic surveillance of Americans, courtesy of people like Peter Thiel and Alex Karp of Palantir Technologies, or you're looking at the implications of this in regard to connections to Jeffrey Epstein's Mossad blackmail operation and the Palantir relationship with Israeli intelligence right up to the present time in regard to technological agreements and arrangements. These are dark and powerful forces. And the question remains, is Donald Trump fully in league with these guys? Or is he, in fact, being kept in the dark on a lot of this and finding himself increasingly at the mercy of what could be, I emphasize could be, I don't know that it is, but what could be a deep state attempt to replace him with J.D. Vance. So we're just going to have to keep an eye on this, but we are living in scary days.
Well, hey, Mark, real quick, you did say something real quick about getting a committee together in Congress and whatnot to check out Peter Thiel and Palantir and whatnot. And what my suggestion or my thought here is that pretty much everybody in Congress, the 535, they're all under some sort of payroll here. It's not going to happen unless the agenda says, you know, they want to throw Donald Trump under the bus. That's kind of what's happening now. If they want to throw him under the bus, they actually throw him under the bus or somehow hook him out with a miraculous, no, I'm not on the list, and Elon, go away, whatever kind of thing. However this is going to play out, I do believe everything is scripted. Thanks for your time, Chief. Great show today. I appreciate you.
Hey, thank you very much, Andy. I apologize to Vivi in Indiana and Dan in Washington for not being able to squeeze you in. I just managed to get my roadmap finished for this show before we actually went on the air, and I will be on with William Repellum of RBN tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time for show number 2. And I look forward to seeing all of you next week. God bless.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.